The following show contains spoilers for some of your favorite shows. You've been warned.
Unisonic!
Put that thing away, samurai.
You're listening to Anime Titans with your hosts, Ali and Hanley.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ali, and this week I am joined by my guest host, Yusuf, and we are the Anime Titans. Yusuf, you are an old friend of the podcast. It's been a while since you've last been on. How have you been? How are things going?
Hello, and thanks for having me back. Doing good, feeling good. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you back, and what I want to tell the people is normally Hanley is with us. He unfortunately couldn't be, and we would be doing Dias Irae episode 5 this week, and we would be doing episode 6 of Juni Tyson and the Zodiac War. We're going to punt those until our next episode because with Yusuf on, we're going to take a deep dive into Dragon Ball Super episode 115, and we're going to talk a little bit about the tournament. Not only are we going to talk about episode 115, which was Goku versus Kefla, the fused form of Khalifa and Cauliflower. But we're going to talk about the tournament do a small recap, and we're going to put out some predictions that you, the viewer, can listen to and tell us if you agree or disagree. And Yusuf, I went back through the archives a few episodes ago on doing Anime Titan, and I noticed that this tournament has felt very long. I've been very complimentary of Dragon Ball Super's pacing, where the episodes don't feel monotonous and the storylines wrap up in really nice, tight arcs. But this tournament felt like it was going on forever, and I noticed this tournament started all the way back in June. Does it feel long to you as a longtime avid Dragon Ball viewer?
I agree with you, everything you said, 100%. It's that the tournament is taking so long, and then even before that, the build-up to the tournament as well. So it just feels like it's really dragging on.
Agreed, and the build-up before the tournament did take way long, right? And now we're getting what I feel like are repetitive fights where Goku, and we all love Goku, is fighting again Cauliflower and Kale, and even though they're in a quote-unquote fused state, it kind of feels repetitive, and I can't believe I'm going to utter the following words. I miss Vegeta. I miss Frieza. I miss Gohan. I want more of Piccolo, even though he's become a huge wuss. Please show me something else.
I agree with you 100% again. I was watching this latest episode, 115, and I felt something I never felt before.
Uh-oh.
It was a little bit of boredom, a little bit of frustration. Because I knew at episode 114, when they first did the fusion, I just like rolled my eyes. I didn't even care what the new form looked like. I just saw it as another delay, another pushback, just dragging on the tournament even further.
So let's say it right. Last episode, when Hanley was on with me, I said, they likely did this fusion as a necessary evil because I feel like the show has accidentally painted itself in a tough corner with Jiren. They made him out to be so darn powerful that no one character is going to take Jiren down. And I almost feel like fusion is a friendly nudge-nudge reminder to us old Dragon Ball fans that, hey, it's still a thing and you can become ultra-powerful on a scale level that we haven't really been measured at yet with these characters. And this is how somebody's going to actually defeat Jiren, because I don't think Goku, even at Ultra Instinct, can defeat Jiren. And I think that's what we're eventually building up to, although I think there's a better way to build up to this.
About the fusion, I actually know the dance. not the earring fusion, but
okay. Which one of the dances? I know there's different iterations for different characters. You mean the Goku Vegeta one?
Yeah, that one. And it's the same one with Trunks and Goten. They do the same.
Right. So Goku and Vegeta taught their kids how to do it.
Right. I did that at work. Actually, made a fool of myself, but I don't care.
Good for you. Kudos. I don't know if I could bring myself to do that dance. Who did you touch fingers with when you did it, though, right?
No, I did it solo. No one else I know.
Okay. All right. Well, good for you. So do you agree with my general premise that although it's we're spending a lot of time with the fusion, it's likely to be a catalyst for how we go to how Jiren goes down?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I actually had this thought a minute ago where flying is actually an ability that was taken away. Like, they can jump, and it looks like they're flying or floating, but they actually can't fly. I don't see why Goku can't just use his instant transmission, zap him over the edge of the ring, and then zap himself back, and Jiren just falls off the edge and just calls it a day. I don't see that happening. That's just too easy and too stupid.
Correct.
But I don't think fusion is going to be a major player here. Like, I may be jumping ahead, but, like, my prediction is
go for
that
it.
It's not going to come down to just one person winning or one versus one. I think there's going to be, like, a few from each universe, and it's going to be an even number. Like, three from here, three from here, three from here. That way, they can just do, like, sudden death and just make it more exhilarating. I see it going down that route.
Okay, so, right, Hanley and I have talked about this. There's one of two things, two possible outcomes. You can have the time run out, and then if the time runs out, they're going to do a head count of how many characters are left per universe, which I think at the end of last episode, we learned that there was 19, whatever they call it, tickets or katets left, which are almost like minutes. But it's not in a real-time version of minutes, of course. Or you could have it where play pretend Goku's Ultra Instinct goes nuts and he knocks every single character off the board and he's the only one left, which I agree with you is a very unlikely scenario. And some of the predictions Hanley and I have made was that Goku's not going to make it to the end of the tournament. And I say that because historically he never wins any of the older tournaments. I've been watching Dragon Ball Super reruns with my brother on Cartoon Network, where they're actually dubbed in English. And in a tournament where he fought against Frost, Frieza's other half of from the Universe 6, Frost knocked out Goku. And I don't think Goku's going to win. And I think we're spending an exponential amount of time with Goku now because he's not going to make it to the end. I think from Universe 7, you're looking at the androids because they have unlimited stamina making it, and Frieza, of course. And then I think from the other universes, you're looking at the really powerful guys like Jiren. I know from the Love universe, Brienne or Brienne, whatever her name is.
I can't stand them. I know. You off. I can't stand them.
And that's okay. You don't need to. My point is, I think these are characters we spent a lot of time with in the tournament, and they will be like the last of the Mohicans, if you will, at the end. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens when they are the last and there are ties in universes and other universes get dispelled? So let's do it your way. You said you think there's going to be an even number on, let's say, three universes, and then there's going to be some overtime. So you're going to extend the tournament. The winner gets the big prize of planet-sized Dragon Balls. God knows what reason they're planet-sized Dragon Balls, but you get to make a wish. Any thoughts to what you think might happen? Do you think the winner is going to re-wish back all the universes and everybody who died in them? Do you think the winner is going to destroy everybody else? Where do you think the story is going to try to go?
They actually touched upon this when Vegeta saved his prodigy.
It's the kid who he trained how to turn into a Super Saiyan from the past tournament. He was Kale and Cauliflower's friend. I forgot his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, me too.
But keep going. That's okay.
But either way, they had a conversation where they promised each other that they would revive the other universe if they were to win. So I actually think that actually may happen.
But right, so Vegeta's the last one of the two of them that survived that, where Goku had promised Frieza he would revive him if Goku wins, which I don't think he was likely to win. And you know what's really sad about that? The reason why Goku's promise to Frieza means nothing to me is, I know Frieza's got the halo because he's supposedly dead, but he's a tangible character fighting in the tournament. It's almost like, what's the difference between him being alive and dead? Is there really, I mean, in Dragon Ball lore, they make that so blasé that it doesn't even matter that Frieza's technically dead, does it?
actually, I'm going to dig really deep in my Dragon
Ball, Dragon Ball Z knowledge. Here comes the shovel.
Yeah, I mean, this is really deep. I remember when Goku was dead in Dragon Ball Z with their fight with Majin Buu.
Okay.
He was having a hard time maintaining Super Saiyan 3. He was trying to power up the Super Saiyan 3, and he failed. And he said his body wasn't as resilient as it was when he was dead. Like when he was dead, he was actually able to have a tougher body. He was able to maintain that form more easily.
So you think it's an advantage to be dead?
It's an advantage to have that halo.
So if that was an advantage for Goku, then if I was Frieza, I wouldn't even want to come back to life then, right? Because he's already tangible.
No, because he has to go back to his hell within that 24 hours. He can't wander the earth with the halo.
Okay, so that's the rule. That's the thing that I'm forgetting, is that he can't walk through earth or whatever planet for more than 24 hours before he gets recalled, if you will, right?
Yes.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, and then the other thing you had mentioned is the tournament's full of all these rules, and it's almost like we've seen half the rules broken. And you mentioned how you can't fly, but why can't Goku teleport? I think we've seen some teleportation. Yes. I think we've even seen some characters get kicked out of the ring, floating down the ring, and then they miraculously get saved or come back in, and it's like, okay, there's no flying. It's almost like you need another circle outside the ring that says, when you drop this far, you are officially out of the tournament, not just out of the ring. They break so many of their own rules. It's almost like the rules themselves are negligible. You're not allowed to use objects. You can't use sensu beans. But yet, for fusion, he's allowed to throw those earring things into the ring and let his characters fuse together. And I'm like,
let me comment on that real quick. Please. I know where you're going with that.
Please.
When the two Zens,
yep.
When they think it's cool, then they'll let it
fly. They approve it.
Like when Master Roshi used the demon seal, that bottle was an accessory. And they said, nope, the technique was really cool. We're going to allow it. And then the gods of destruction stopped yelling at each other. And then, you know, it was safe. So as long as it's cool, then they rule.
By Zen, the Zensamo brothers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, this goes back to everything that's wrong with Dragon Ball at times. And I always say you literally have to power your brain down. Because if you overanalyze every single thing, you're going to drive yourself mad with how many loopholes they put into it. And another thing that I've been waiting for is Kale is like a complete female ripoff of Broly. But they never actually mentioned Broly's name. So Broly had his own old school movie. He was in two of them. He's never been part of actual continuity, right? And why do you think they don't mention him? I read an article online that claimed, I don't know if you've heard this, Broly's not quote-unquote canon because he only showed up in the movies.
Right.
Do you buy that?
That's true.
Okay, so in my world, in my view of the world with Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super, whatever you want to call it, GT, Broly exists. He's in the video games. He's in the movies. I've seen him. He feels very tangible. There's posters of him you can buy. There's t-shirts of him you can buy. You want to tell me he's not canon? I'm going to tell you, bite me.
Well, he wasn't part of the main story. I guess that's the reasoning behind it.
Sure, I hear you on that. I just, in your mind, is he not canon?
I think it's irrelevant because Dragon Ball Z has wrapped up. It's done. He was never part of the main storyline, so you know I've just let it go. And then
such a purist. So you don't think then they're ever gonna mention Broly?
They'll never say the B word.
Never see the B word.
I don't think they'll ever say it.
Okay, so everything we are seeing with Kale powering up the way Broly does, needing to be controlled, and then when she rages and she can think about things and power down and good, evil, whatever you want to call it, all of these tie-ins to Broly, and you don't think they're ever going to mention Broly.
Nope.
And so it basically, if you haven't seen one of the old movies or Googled this Broly character that I've mentioned several times on past podcast episodes, then a new viewer is going to have no idea what the heck I'm talking about.
That's 100% true. And because I've watched the movies, even though it's not even part of, you know, the Dragon Ball Z.
I love the movies. I think they're great.
Yeah. I mean, there was a scene where Goku was Super Saiyan Blue. He did the Kamehameha at the female Broly, we'll call it that. And then she withstood it and just walked right through it. That happened in one of the movies in Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
And they were just, and that's when it really hit me that, like, oh my God, that's Broly in the way she screams.
Yes.
That's just a treat for the hardcore Broly fans.
Oh, one of those quote unquote eggs they put in shows just as a callback, they call them and whatnot.
Yes. That's why I think they're doing. That was the main thing behind it.
You think that's the catalyst? Okay, so then let me ask you this. I have said on this podcast several times, my favorite thing Dragon Ball Super has ever done is the Trunks storyline. It was about 20, 21 episodes, and I thought it was fantastic from beginning to end. I bought it hook, line, and sinker. The way it called back to the original Dragon Ball Z series, I absolutely loved it. That was my favorite saga of all of Dragon Ball Super thus far. We're 115 episodes in. You tell me, do you agree, or what was your favorite saga so far in Dragon Ball Super lore?
I like to be the optimistic kind of person, so I'll start with that. So, but I have to say something negative here.
Okay.
I did not like the Trunks saga one bit.
No.
When there's something revolving time traveling, you open up paradoxes. I know you're supposed to suspend belief, and I know it's fiction, but at the same time, I don't like things that have to do with time travel. Even though it had some really cool moments, like when Vegeta and Trunks did their simultaneous attack.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I thought it was more than that. I thought the way the whole saga opened up with Trunks' mom dying, and then he has to go back, and it was 19 years, which is the exact amount of time it had been since the Dragon Ball Z series, and they tied it in so perfectly. I thought it was really well done. Of the sagas, whether it was the tournaments, everything of the 115 episodes, that 20 episode run is my favorite thus far of Dragon Ball Super. I was enjoying this tournament when it originally started, but now that it's gone this far, and what's funny is I went back through the archives and I looked, Dragon Ball Super has been pacing at 20 to 25 episodes a saga, but this saga is well beyond that number if you include before the tournament started leading into it. And I'm kind of like cringing now. It feels like Dragon Ball Z-ish. That's why I'm asking, what is your favorite saga thus far in Dragon Ball Super lore, if you even have one?
I would say the first tournament.
The original, where, that's the one where you meet Hit, Universe 6.
Right, that seemed like the most interesting.
Okay, so that's where you meet Frost, that's where you meet Hit, you meet Kale, you meet Cauliflower, you meet the male Super Saiyan that was Vegeta taught how to power up, he made the deal with, you meet the other god who is a much more evil version of
Beerus,
and you learn that there are multiple versions of universes out there, and the really odd thing they do with that, and I can buy what you're saying, and I think that's the current run on Cartoon Network happening, is I find this to be so odd. Whatever universes add up to the number 13 are the parallel universes.
Right, that's true.
So 6 and 7, 12 and 1, 11 and whatever. And I'm like, why did they do something so odd? And on top of that, and this makes it so bad for me, a few universes got exempt from this tournament because they were quote-unquote too powerful.
Right.
Like, what does that mean? You think they're saving them for future episodes?
That has to be the case, because after this wraps up, what's next for Goku, like the strongest of the strongest? He has to do something, pursue something even stronger, because that's the nature of, you know, the story of Goku in Dragon Ball Z. As the story continues, he faces someone more and more powerful.
Yeah, and I even wanted to just mention, it took Gohan forever to get back into this, right?
He's still a little B in my book.
He is right now, but it took him forever. And then I thought Trunks and Majin Buu would be part of this tournament, but they found ways to keep them out of the tournament, which very much disappointed me. So let's do this. If I was to put a gun to your head and say, Yusuf, you have to pick a winner. Tell us what you think is going to happen after you pick the winner, meaning the Dragon Ball wish, and then how do you think it all comes together?
Gun to my head, I would want Frieza to win, because that just makes things interesting. Because if you have Goku win, Vegeta win,
okay,
one of the Pride Troopers win, they'll do like the good thing. I want to see like havoc, chaos.
Sure, let's do it your way. Which, by the way, I from everything I read online and everybody I talk to, and Hanley, who is the guest host on Anime Titans, he's a big Frieza guy. Frieza's cockiness now is way better than it's ever been. Actually, he reminds me of, like, he feels like the improved version of what I used to think of Vegeta back in the day. To me, he makes Vegeta look like a little B-word, in my opinion. Just the way Frieza speaks. So if Frieza wins the tournament, let's pretend in the next episode, which we know isn't going to happen, he collects the Dragon Balls. What do you think he's going to wish for then?
The destruction of all the gods.
You think so?
Yes.
That's a good call. I like it. I like it. I'll say this. I don't think you're too far off. I still like the android's odds of winning the whole thing. And I think the universes that got have already been gone are going to stay gone. I think future universes that are going to be gone stay gone. And I think the universes of Dragon Ball will come down from 13 to a total of 3 or 4. Of course, you have to include our heroes from Universe 7, which kind of ruins it. Which is why I think we're going to get a death or two. So there's a rule. You can't kill anybody in the tournament. If you do, you're going to get knocked out. I think there's going to be a few accidental deaths along the way. And I think Universe 7 is going to be at the tail end of it, whether it ends up being Piccolo or Gohan or somebody like that. I'm not really committed to. I know Frieza was using his kill move, but just used enough of it not to kill a few episodes ago. So I think there's a lot of tricky things still yet to happen. I'll tell you what, I was enjoying it at first, haven't been as much now. Are you looking forward to, did you see the scenes for next episode?
That's funny you ask, because I finished this episode and I was like, oh my God, like Goku just used Ultra Instinct again.
Yes.
Like at the very end, I'm like, I want to see just a little bit more. And I never ever watched the previews for the next one because I want it to be like a surprise.
Okay.
And I was like, I just had to look. And then I guess, spoiler alert maybe.
Go for it.
Yeah, it just shows him like super powered up using Ultra Instinct. I just glanced at it and I saw like a big red explosion. So maybe he can like dig deeper into it. So I think it's just going to be another Goku versus somebody else next episode. I think it's going to be a lot of action, like good action, which is something to look forward to. But at the same time, I feel conflicted because it's just another episode we have to watch. Goku versus Kale and Cauliflower, or the combined version of them. I'm really sick of that.
I think you're speaking for more of a majority than minority. I think we all agree with your general sentiment. Yeah. Well, Yusuf, I had a lot of fun. Thank you for joining me again. I hope in the future we can have another go-around with this.
Hopefully next time I come around, the tournament can be wrapped up, which could be sooner than later. But I'm enjoying the ride so far.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Anime Titans is recorded by Ali and Hanley and hosted by Gabber Media.